The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Today is a special day. In a few minutes, I'm going to introduce to you one of our own special people. We have everybody here is a special person. But you get to meet, if you haven't already met, Thomas Turner today. He works for International Justice Mission. And we're taking a special focus on liberty and justice for all today. We've been doing this series the past 2 months called In God We Trust. We started a month before the election. I was up here trying to give you therapy and hope in light of our circumstances. And the greatest hope can be found in knowing that regardless who sits and holds the office of president, we know who holds the universe. Regardless of who's president, we have a God who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we looked at the first 4 weeks at the life of Daniel and his country, who was held captive, taken into the Babylonian captivity. And God said, "You're not captives, you're my ambassadors. Look at the land where I have carried you. Pray for it. Seek the prosperity of the land. Don't try to run from the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." And it wasn't a Mercedes in the driveway. It was plant a garden in your backyard and bless your neighbors. That's the plans I have for you. We looked at the letter from Jeremiah, the prophet, to Daniel and his friends while in captivity. And we saw the beautiful picture of how God uses us, his people. A couple weeks ago, we looked at how God calls us saints. He calls us priests. He calls us sent ones. He sent us as ambassadors. The highest ranking position that can be given to someone is to call you an ambassador and send you to another land to represent the land you're from. We are ambassadors sent from heaven to earth. God placed us here with a purpose, with a mission, and that is to be a blessing, not just to pursue our own blessing. And so today, I want you to see, as we look at the Pledge of Allegiance, we've been breaking down the different words in the Pledge of Allegiance. Say it with me real quick so we can bring that back to memory. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Liberty and justice is not just an ideal that Americans here are called to pursue. If we look at scriptures, we see that liberty and justice, true hope, true grace, true freedom, God desires for all, not just Americans. A couple statistics to throw at you. We have, according to statistics, we've grown since then, but statistics I looked at, we have about 4%. Does anybody know if that's changed of the world's population in the United States? It's a pretty small number. Most of the people who live in this world do not live here. You get that? And yet, the United States consumes about 96% of the world's resources. Did you hear me? I mean, that is staggering numbers. The Bible tells us, in the book of 1 Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. We did a study on this 2 years ago about what does it mean to be rich, and some of you are sitting there saying, "I wish I could be rich." Do you know that most of the world that lives outside of the United States, they live on less than $2 a day? Less than $2 a day. How many of you make more than $2 a day? According to this passage, those who are rich in this present world, we, even though you may be struggling, you may at times have to depend on help from outside your home, in the world's eyes, if you're sitting in this room, you are rich. In God's eyes, we are full of riches and blessings, and our desire as people of God, as ambassadors of God, as people sent to this earth to be his witnesses, we are blessed beyond measure. We have riches, and the world is here to be blessed through us. God has appointed us and chosen us to be his ambassadors, to go out and to liberate those who need to be liberated, to bring the message of hope and freedom that can only be found in Christ, and at times to risk our very lives for the sake of helping people find freedom in this world as well. Today I want to introduce to you Thomas, who's going to come and share with us some of the work that IJM is doing and ways that we as brothers and sisters in Christ can partner in these efforts. And so if you would, welcome with me Thomas. Thank you for being here, Thomas. So we've been going through the series of looking at God as a God who created us, who made us and shaped us to be his ambassadors, his sent ones. We've been looking at the principles and ideals that we hold as Americans near and dear to our own hearts, seeking our own pursuit of happiness, our own freedom and justice. But help us see what a real, honest, true picture of that really looks like.
Sure. I think where we really want to start is just the actual concepts of liberty and justice, and that for us as Americans, we only have to read the news every morning or open up a history book to see that liberty and justice has often been an ideal for us, but not a reality. And thankfully, for us as Christians, when we participate in the kingdom of God, we actually know the reality of liberty and justice, because it is not rooted in American version of a democratic republic and American culture. It's actually rooted in the kingdom of God and what Jesus did and anointed on this earth through his death and resurrection. One of the profound moments for this is actually when Jesus basically appoints himself for ministry. And he goes into the synagogue and he takes out a scroll and he just reads from the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue. And he's saying that these scriptures are being fulfilled in your eyes this day. And I just want to read what he is saying about his own life and ministry. It's the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. For I, the Lord, love justice. So Jesus actually says, this is what my ministry is about. And part of the salvation that he brings through his death and resurrection is just opening us up to the reality that freedom, liberty, justice, these things are just central to the actual kingdom of God that Jesus is bringing on the earth. And that's really where IJM comes in. The world does not understand what liberty and justice is, and that includes the U.S. That the world is just really racked with violence and oppression. There are over 4 billion people, that's over half the world, are actually outside law enforcement. Law enforcement will not adequately protect them from crime in any sort of way. And really, that's where IJM comes in. We are a group of Christians that just want to bring justice to people that experience everyday violence. So we do things like protect. IJM, through our work, protects over 21 million people from everyday violence. We rescue thousands of people. And that's actually a literal rescue. It's not metaphorical in any way. We actually free people from slavery, human trafficking, bonded labor, child sexual assault, wrongful imprisonment, and even citizenship rights, that there's actually people that are stateless. They have no citizenship rights. And because of that, a lot of violence can be perpetrated against them because they have no recourse. If you're not a citizen of anywhere, you actually can't protect yourself in a meaningful way. I'm proud to say that IJM is the largest anti-slavery organization in the world, which is also really exciting to be working at the largest anti-slavery organization in the world. but it's also just we have a lot more work to do because there IGM cannot take on everything. And lastly, convictions. We do not just rescue people. We actually provide lawyers to go after perpetrators. So part of breaking the cycle of injustice and the denial of freedom and liberty to people is actually to put the wrongdoers in jail. So we have lawyers that will prosecute cases and fight for people's rights because often we take for granted so much in America. We're like, if you are a slave in India and you actually get freed, you are not entitled to just have a lawyer provided to you by the state in any functional way. So we actually provide lawyers in these countries where you don't actually get a lawyer. It's not a right like it is here. And then training. So part of our responsibility that we see for ourselves is just training law enforcement staff, so that's prosecutors, judges, police. Since 2012, we've trained over 37,000 police officers throughout the world. And part of that is just seeing the kingdom of God come through government. And in Romans 13, when it talks about just the government being anointed by God, it's just this really mysterious way God works through the world that there are police officers in Mumbai that now know how to look for slavery and actually be part of the sword of the government to bring freedom and justice to people. And that's through IGM's just Christian work and ethic of seeing scripture come to life. Really wanted to point you to liberty and justice can be these nebulous things. And just wanted to see this video. It's our video, Until All Are Free, because it's really about how can the church get connected to these really big things. And so often we wake up, we rise, and we do our things that are just normal for us during the day. And really, like bringing liberty and justice into the world is something that we can actually do when we just get up as part of the church, when we get up in the morning. And it's just one of those things that is central to living out and being Christ to people in the world. So I just want you to watch this video.
We are slavery's end. Each morning we rise, wide awake and filled with purpose. We fight fearlessly in the name of justice because we believe in a better world and a God who moves us to make it so. We are the church. Beyond a building or a day of the week, relentlessly defending freedom. Not for some distant future, but for today. So that this may be the last generation to be owned, sold, or ignored in their suffering. And though we may be free, we are tied to those still held in bondage. And we will not go away until lives, communities, and nations are transformed, until all countries protect all of their citizens. So, each day we rise again, knowing we are slavery's end. And we will never be free. Until all are free.
You know what's so beautiful is that the message of blessing and freedom has been in place since the beginning. Genesis chapter 12, a key passage we refer to often. When Abram is first called, God says, I want you to leave all the blessings I've given you and leave your country, everything you know. I have a better plan for you than just wallowing in your own blessing. I want you to leave the country to a land that I will show you, and I will continue to bless you, but not so again you can just enjoy your own blessings, but so that the nations of the world will be blessed through you. And that has been God's call for us. He's using us as his chosen vessel to bless. And blessing is not just giving out nice things. It's also fighting against injustice, fighting against slavery, fighting against the things that seek to take blessing away. Thomas, tell us how we can see this unfold more.
Yeah, I think when you're first presented with this problem or set of problems, it can be really overwhelming that there's so much injustice. When you hear there's like 45 million slaves in the world today, you're just like, it seems utterly hopeless. And we are given kind of this directive that Jesus calls us to bring freedom and justice. It can seem overwhelming, like where do we start, actually? And I think part of this is just that God is calling us to set the world to rights. That in the prayer he gave us, in the Lord's Prayer, that we're just supposed to pray this on a daily basis. And this is a message version, which I think really gets to it. But our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. And he reveals himself through setting captives free, through loving justice. And then set the world right. Like, we want the world to actually be right, and right in the way that's defined by Christ's life and Christ's spirit in us and in the world. Do what's best as above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Amen. So we have this huge picture of like God, like the entire world, not just Virginia or the East Coast or America or North America, the entire world and everything on it. People, animals, the whole collective that we see. It's one of the things you even see in like the Noah story of like God, when God wants to save the world, he doesn't just save humans. It's everything together. The world must be preserved and put right. And that's what Christ wants to do through us. But it can seem overwhelming. And I just want to kind of share the story of Kumar with you, because the world's problems can seem overwhelming until we just focus on one person. And you see Jesus do that in his own ministry. Jesus didn't set out and say, there is a problem of injustice in Israel, in Judea, and Samaria, and I needed to address all of it. Like, he focused on the people that came to him that needed healing, miracles, were sick. Jesus focused on that one person. And that's really all God is calling us to do. We are supposed to focus on freeing as many people as we can, and bringing God's kingdom to as many people as we can. And us as a church together, we can do that. It's not the weight of the entire world on your shoulders. The weight is on Christ. We just need to actually participate. And so just learning one story of one person and how their life has changed and how it has this ripple effect within people's local communities, within their own life, within their family, is just encouragement, because we don't need to have the burden of the entire world on our shoulders. We just need to do what God calls us to every day. So, we have this amazing story of Kumar that I really want to share with you. If you haven't figured out, iGEM loves videos, so we have another video. But this is Kumar when he's young and when he's rescued. And you're going to see in the video, Kumar is growing up, and he's thriving and he's flourishing, and it's just because he was given the opportunity to be free. And I think one of the I think one of the most humbling things about working at IGM is actually when you start realizing that slaves aren't any different than you, that they're just the same person, and for whatever reason, they haven't been given the same opportunity as you. And there's nothing in the world that makes Kumar any different than me at all, except the circumstances he found himself in. So I just wanted you to watch this video and learn more about Kumar.
You're working 14, 18 hour days with very little sleep, no freedom. Dignity is taken away from them. And that's something nobody should have to endure. We had a number of years ago, two of the bonded laborers escaped from a facility. And they were tracked down by the owners of the facility and brought back. And as a punishment for what they had done, their hands were chopped off.
We would go to the government officers and we'd say, sir, there is a bonded labor case. And almost always the response was, there is no bonded labor in my area. What are you talking?
How much?
30.
Yeah, I'm free.
Ruchira, there's a girl who's very afraid. Almost unable to walk.
This is Kumar. He was abandoned by his mother, and his father was suddenly killed. Orphaned and alone, he was accountable for his parents' debts. And at just 7 years old, he was forced into slavery. Kumar remembers a day where he was so ill he couldn't get out of bed. Immediately, his owner came looking for him. Kumar was trapped by debt and a slave owner who beat him continuously. He, like so many, had no remaining hope for a way out. IJM discovered the horrific conditions in the brick factory where Kumar and others were being forced to work against their will. And, based on their undercover video evidence, local government authorities and police came alongside IJM to conduct a rescue operation.
The more and more we are doing these rescues, people are getting aware that people are being abused. There is bonded labor, there is trafficking. Also, the law is going to take its course as well as perpetrators go behind.
When the team arrived in the morning and entered the brick factory, 15 men, women, and children were rescued and given their freedom back. Then, they were each given a certificate to prove that they no longer owe any debts to their former owner. And one was for Kumar. After being rescued, IJM placed Kumar in their aftercare program to heal.
You'd ask him a question anytime, no matter what, and he would say, the one thing I want to do, sir, is I want to study. He was clear about that.
And then, they enrolled him in school for the first time. Today, he is studying to be a social worker to help those still suffering like he did.
And what we do at IJM is we go look for that lost sheep, that girl that's being abused, that widow who's been run out of her home. And we will search for her until we find her. That's how our Father has loved us. That's how we are called to love others. Not to search for them until we've satisfied ourselves. Not to search for them until it gets really hard. But to go after them until we find them. To be relentless in our love.
I can talk. As Thomas is going to share with us more, it's honestly about us just realizing the mission that God has called us to. It's more than just enjoying the blessed life that we get to have here in America. We have a right. We have a responsibility. And while the burden of the world is so beautifully, as you stated, is rests on Jesus' shoulders, we are his hands and feet, and we have something that he's called us to do. And the world needs us.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the ways is just, we just have to show up. I think watching, I mean, I've seen this Kumar video so often, and I start getting emotional each time too, that God's kingdom comes when the world is set to rights. It's just through doing what Jesus has called us to do every day, and it's not something that's extraordinary or heroic. It's just doing what God's called us to do. And you see through stories like Kumar of that the world starts changing. And you just have to seek after that lost sheep. Like the voiceover, actually, it's Jesse Rudy, who works in the D.C. office. He used to be a field office director. And like he's doing that. He was just being interviewed about the work by someone that came. And that's what ended up being that voiceover. And like, Jesse and I have had meetings about like grants management. Like we're not out there every day doing these like things that would end up on like a reality TV show or anything spectacular. Like we're just going about our daily work, and this kind of stuff happens just because we're just doing what God has called us to do every day. And it's I am not better than anyone. I think just as like the burden of this rests on Christ and is not. There's no hierarchy in the fight for justice. And little things end up making, the little normal things end up making a really big difference. We have a lawyer in India right now named Raja, and he was rescued by IJM in the mid-2000s. And because he's just given that opportunity, he was rescued. He was able to go to school, to law school, and now he works for IJM in India and actually prosecutes slave owners as a former slave. The release certificates that people were given, like IJM just showed up. The Indian government was like, we really need something that kind of shows that people are free. And we're like, what about release certificates? And like now this piece of paper that seems so innocuous like does amazing things. Because when they show it to someone in the Indian government, then they're entitled to enough money to get themselves on the ground and to start a small business. And they can't be resold back into slavery. Like, it's a piece of paper, It's like our driver's license, but it opens up huge doors for people to actually experience the freedom and justice that the Indian government says. Just like in America, we say, like, we want this for our people, but falling short, and that they're able to get this just with this document. And we continue to see just our former clients, like Kumar, like Raja, end up participating in the work of justice. There are so many stories I could tell you if I have time, but that when you experience the radical and world-changing nature of freedom and justice the way Christ wants us to, these things start happening, and the world really does start getting put back to rights, and it's through Christ and his work in us.
I love what you said. I quoted a quote, I think, again, it was from Martin Luther. A guy asked Martin Luther, I've given my life to Christ, now what do I do to serve God? And he said, well, what do you do? And he was a shoemaker, and he said, go make the best pair of shoes you can and sell it at a fair price. We go about life. God isn't like wanting us all to get up and join IJM and all be shipped overseas to become rescuers, although some of you might be able to. It's really about us being the light that God has called us to be in the place where he's sent us, and using what he's blessed us with to be that blessing. Plant the gardens in the city where I've sent you. Live there. Marry, have your sons and daughters marry. Go on living life as if you're living it for me, and don't forget to seek the welfare of the city. Jeremiah 29:7. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. We have a way that God is calling us to live that doesn't only seek our own protection and blessing, but those that God has placed around us.
Yeah. Really how you can get involved today is through three things. And it's being, We respond simply to just the call in Isaiah 1:17, which is learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, and plead the case of the widow. We do property rights work in Uganda, where we plead for the case of widows on a daily basis that have their land stolen from them. We take up the cause of the fatherless, like Kumar, whose father died and then ended up being in slavery. And then we just seek justice and defend the oppressed in the 20 communities we work in. And how you can participate, like John said, is just having this in the back of your mind while carrying on with your normal life. And we call that being a freedom partner at IJM. So you do three things as a freedom partner. You give, you pray, and you advocate. So you can sign up at this URL. There are sign-up sheets at the Connection Center in the back. You can put your name, zip code, and email address, and I'll make sure someone contacts you about becoming a freedom partner. But that's how we see it. It's a holistic thing of giving, praying, and advocating on the behalf of those that need freedom and justice. And the giving part is simple. We give because it's just God has blessed us. Like John said, we are wealthy. Even though it sometimes doesn't feel like it, we have to budget, and we just aren't swimming in gold like Scrooge McDuck or something, that we have our money to give. And there's a lot of good causes to give to. IJM is certainly one of them. I work in fundraising at IJM. I can tell you that the money is being used with the utmost ethics and integrity and wisely. Prayer and advocacy are also extremely important, and that's why we weigh them the same as giving. We have a global prayer gathering every year. It's coming up March 3rd and 4th in 2017, and we meet for a day and a half and just pray for our work. You can go and you can pray with field office directors. They all come in. And they're leading our offices in these different communities. And they'll just come and say, like, we need prayer for a memorandum with the government so we can work in this district, in this area. We need to expand our work, and we just need God to move. And you just pray for it, because we rely fully on God. We are doing what he's called us to, but God needs to make these changes. We can't, in our human power, do these things. And also, just pray for IJM, and then pray for the work being done by amazing groups like IJM. I think Right now, Northern Iraq's been in the news a lot. Today, like, look up Preemptive Love Coalition and, like, pray for them, because they're just Christians that are in Northern Iraq and, like, literally can hear ISIS gunshots going off. They're that close. And they're just doing medical work and doing relief work in a war zone. Compassion International, World Relief, Ebenezer, which Hope Hill has done missions trips with and will continue doing trips with, and then Hope for Nova. All these things, like local, regional, global, we need to be praying for all these things, because behind those names, these household names of Christian orgs, are like people like me. They're just doing their jobs, and we need your prayer. And then lastly is just advocacy. We really stand behind a great cloud of witnesses of ordinary people that have done the tremendous work of justice. Moses, William Wilberforce, Harriet Tubman, Kumar, these are all normal people. Like, Moses killed someone and ran off into the desert. William Wilberforce is just a parliamentarian. Harriet Tubman was a slave. Kumar was a slave. But they've done amazing things, and they're ordinary people just like us. And they advocated for people to be freed. And we live in a place where we cannot forget that liberty and justice has often been an ideal, and we need to seek the reality that we need to advocate with our local and national leaders, our congressmen, congresswomen, senators, the executive branch, that we need to look at America and see that this Brian Stevenson quote, he's an amazing guy that runs Equal Justice Initiative in Alabama, that he defends innocent people on death row because often of racial injustice within the court system. And he says the opposite of poverty is not wealth, the opposite of poverty is justice. And that when you are too poor to be able to have basic legal rights done for you, that injustice occurs. And we need to remember as Christians that we stand up to this, that Christians were integral to the civil rights movement. I think people often forget that, like, Martin Luther King Jr.'s organization was called the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Like, it was a group of ministers battling in the civil rights movement. And then we live in a state where the Civil War started. We live in a state where, I mean, I passed Brentsville Road coming to church, and the old Prince William County Courthouse was there. And you can look up records that people were fined in this county for saying slavery was immoral. And it's about the equivalent of $8,000 in today's dollar. That in the 1850s, people were fined that much for saying slavery is illegal. It's more than the fine for your third DUI in Virginia. And that was for saying slavery was wrong. And we live in a state where interracial marriage was illegal. And you have that, it's the 50th anniversary of Loving versus Virginia coming up, and there's a movie coming out about it. But this is not in our, it's in our not-so-distant past. And we need to remember that as Christians, we are called to point this out wherever we are at. And just want to get into really the hope of it, because I know this is a lot of overwhelming stuff. But it's tremendously hopeful. Christians have been the people that, in so many ways, have participated in the expansion of freedom and justice in countries like America, because we're just doing what Jesus told us to do. And we're doing what God told us to. It's not, is it the gospel? Is it the social gospel? We're just doing what God told us to do. And I want to really end with this hopeful passage from Isaiah. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. We want these things for Prince William County, for Nova. We want these things for Virginia, for America, for the world. And God gives us the roadmap for how to do it. We, in our normal, everyday lives, respond to the oppression we hear about. The world is really interconnected. I mean, I go to work every day knowing that there's probably slave minerals in the cell phone I use to battle slavery. There is things in the clothing industry that Cindy will have a table on December during Advent. And we'll just point out that the simple things we do is just where we buy our clothes from can have a huge impact on injustice in the world, where we get our coffee from. Once we start knowing these things, we can start doing little steps. Hope for Nova is just a great example of putting this passage into action. It's just we know there are problems here, and we need to address them. And that's when we see the light of God coming in. If we call on him and we're doing these things he's called us to do, he's going to respond in a way that is hopeful, that brings the reality of the kingdom of God to earth. So I really encourage you, just help IJM. Sign up to be a Freedom Partner. Give, pray, and advocate for us. Do it here with Hope for Nova. Do it with Ebenezer. Do it with some other organizations that just participate in this work of God in the world today. So thanks so much. I'll be up here if you have any questions after the service, but I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Thomas. Let's hear it for Thomas and the work they're doing. As our worship team comes to get in place, I want us to go ahead and take this time to pray and think about the challenge set forth before us. So as we pray, listen to these words. I'm going to just pray these words from Scripture over us. This is from the passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And as an attitude of prayer, let us have these words just pour over us and through us. Listen to these words in an attitude of prayer. God, help us to take to heart what we've heard today. Help us, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:16, that from now on that we would regard no one from just a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new is here. All this is from you, God, who reconciled us to yourself. You set us free through the blood of Christ. And you now have given us this ministry of reconciliation to go out and to find those who are in darkness and bring your light, bring your hope, freedom that can only be found in you. God, you reconciled the world to yourself in Christ, not counting our sins against ourselves. God, you who knew no sin, became the message of reconciliation by taking our sin upon yourself. And so now, God, as we sit before you, help us to see ourselves in the words of verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though Christ were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So God, as your co-workers, we pray that you would empower us, that you would inspire us, you would dictate our steps, point out our path that you want us to take as doctors, teachers, lawyers, soccer moms, schoolmates, God, and everywhere you've placed us, help us to be your light, Help us to live in a way that brings freedom and hope, forgiveness and peace. And let it begin here with us now. Father God, I pray if there's somebody in this room who's never realized the love, the forgiveness, the peace that you offer that can only be come through you, your Son, that they would find themselves at a point of saying to you, Jesus, come into my life, make me new. Forgive me for the things that I've done wrong. Help me to follow you. Come into my life. Help me to believe in you. Save me, Jesus. Make me yours. God, I pray this prayer for each person in here, but if there's somebody who's never come to the point of making the decision to call on you in that way as Savior and Lord, I pray they would do it now. And Holy Spirit, come and seal that prayer in their hearts as they're lifting up their hearts to you right now. God, as we take time to close our service, to think upon these things, all that you endured, so that we can bring freedom today, as we take communion, a piece of bread, a symbol of your body broken, as we dip it in a cup, a symbol of your blood shed, let us remember what you did for us to empower us to be your body on this earth. Come, Lord Jesus, move among us now, I pray.